You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today. The resident Socia Cynic is here to welcome you to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And guys, the nickname is officially coming to an end because Mike Socia has left the Angels organization. We sat down, we talked to Stu Matthews from Halo's Heaven today and had an amazing conversation with him. We talked Mike Socia, we talked Shohei Ohtani and his successful Tommy John surgery. We talked Billy Epler, what he's going to see. And we even did our two studs and duds for the entire season. So, we're just going to jump right into that. We'll have our break a little bit in the middle of that, and then we'll continue with the interview a little bit later. So, we're just going to jump right into Stu Matthews from Halo's Heaven. All right, Halo fans, we are back with it's a Tuesday episode, so Stu, we're welcoming back Stu Matthews from Halo's Heaven, and hey, it's not our normal Monday, but we're getting after it, right, Stu?
What's up, Lucas?
Man,
it's just a grind getting through a whole baseball season, isn't it? Kind of feel like everything, the floor is just dropping out.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, one of my good friends decides to have their wedding the weekend of the last series for the Angels, when everything just kind of starts, all the news starts breaking and the Socia stuff starts happening. So, of course, that ends up happening for me.
Yeah. At least. No, they did. It happened to me too. So, you know, that's the way baseball is. You don't never know what's going to come up.
Exactly. So let's just dive headfirst into the Mike Socia talk because, I mean, as you know, as everybody knows, I'm on here. I'm the Socia Cynic. That's my little nickname that I gave myself. And I want to start out by saying, when I dive into this talk, he had a very impressive career with the Angels. We all know the statistics: 1,650 wins, 21 playoff wins, two-time AL Manager of the Year, one World Series, which is kind of what every Angels fan loves about Mike Socia. And I am 24 years old, if you didn't know, Stu. Born in April of 1994. So I don't remember the Terry Collins days or anybody before him or any of that stuff like how it was happening in the 90s. I was in kindergarten when Mike Socia became the manager of the Angels. So all I know is Mike Socia as the Angels manager. And my cynicism towards him, I think, came from the fact that I've never experienced this team with somebody else. I think it might have been 2, 3, 4 years overdue that he's kind of stepping away from the team or us asking him to leave. But that being said, yes, it was a great career. I don't want to discredit that, but I'm ready to move on. I don't know what you think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have been ready to move on, but again, it's just like I knew other managers before him. And I was there the day he got hired. I was working as internet editor over at Disney for the Angels, you know, when they were owned by Disney, when he walked in the door. And I got to say, Lucas, that I just haven't ever met a better guy in my life as far as being a person. He is just a wonderful, wonderful man. And good luck finding somebody better. But, I mean, as far as a manager, yeah. I mean, people will probably say the modern game got away from him and all that stuff. But, you know, the guy's passionate, and boy, did he care about the Angels. And if you saw that press conference, I'm sure it was you too busy at the wedding. Man, the weirdest thing about that was watching him cry. I never thought I would ever see the day that would happen.
Yeah.
And that hurt.
Yeah, it was a very powerful press conference, I thought. And I did want to talk about that because I thought it was awesome. I thought it was when he started. Have you seen Wolf of Wall Street by any chance?
I've forgotten it.
Okay, so there's a scene in Wolf of Wall Street when Jordan Belson is leaving the company, but then he stops when he's on the microphone and he says, "You know what? I'm not leaving." And like the crowd erupts and everything. I had that moment with Mike Socia where when I was watching the press conference and he started crying and he was kind of like, you know, kind of over the microphone, and I thought he was just going to look up and say, "You know what, guys? I'm not leaving." And I saw that scene from Wolf of Wall Street like happening before my eyes, but it didn't happen. But overall, I thought, I mean, what were your takeaways from the interview or the press conference?
I thought he was very decisive. I was surprised by it. He just walked in and got straight to the point, mm-hmm. you know, and he said, "I've got an announcement. I am stepping down. I will no longer be the Angels manager." And that really hit like a hammer, because I know a lot of people hoped it would happen. I did, because I think that the team needs to go in a new direction.
Yeah.
But again, having said that, I just love the guy. You're just never going to meet a better guy. And it was just, yeah, I hope that, you know, he finds another opportunity, because he loves baseball so much. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to find anybody who knows more. I mean, you could binge read, you know, like 4 books in a week, and you'd never know, and you know, a fraction of what the guy knows about baseball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think my favorite part of the entire press conference was when he was going into some of the players that really kind of affected like him moving forward as a coach potentially and stuff. And I mean, he went through, it seemed like, the entire 2002 roster talking about all those guys. But I thought it was really crazy that he didn't mention anybody between that 2002 team and this current iteration of the Angels other than Vladimir Guerrero. And those were some of the teams that I thought were better than a lot of the teams we've been coaching now and back in the early 2000s with. Those were the teams that were rattling off division titles and stuff like that. So crazy that we didn't see guys on there like, I don't know, like Orlando Cabrera and some of those other like very skilled players that came through the organization. He did mention Torii Hunter also. I forgot about that.
He didn't even mention Mike Trout, Simmons, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, those guys are some of the best players he's ever had. It was.
Yeah. I thought it was insane. But.
Yeah. I mean, but it's over, man. So, I mean, you got to look forward now. And, you know, Billy Epler, I know they didn't push him out. Like Carpino and Epler said, no, all is this decision. But, you know, you don't have much of a decision if they haven't handed you a contract.
Mm hmm. Yes, I agree with that. And I think that was a good way for the Angels to kind of part ways with the guy that's been with the organization for so long. You don't fire him, you don't kick him to the curb. I think it looks good for the organization. I think it looks good for Socia, like all around. I think he kind of leaves gracefully, essentially.
You know, I actually wouldn't mind, you know, giving him some time to think about it, and if he doesn't find somewhere else to manage, I actually wouldn't mind if they brought him back into the team in some capacity, simply because he knows so much, and he would be valuable for the team in that sense. You know, maybe like organizing the farm or something like that. Just, I don't know, some whatever role. I would love it if he came back, because it would be a loss if he didn't.
Yeah, so maybe like a special advisor to Billy Epler or some kind of thing like that, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Who knows? But, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, everybody thought he would come back to the Dodgers, you know, when he was catching, and he was at Albuquerque getting ready to be the main Dodgers manager, you know, and that was in 99. Terry Collins got blown out by the Angels and there was a vacancy. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to go manage there." And so like he kind of held a grudge against the Dodgers the rest of his life, you know, wouldn't admit it, but he was an Angel for life after that. Now, after having been sort of shown the door by the Angels, he may not really want to go back. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I got divorced once in my life, and it's like it hurts. Mm-hmm. And then you just sort of don't want to go back to any of those bad memories.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, well, I am, but that's another story.
Yeah. So let's switch gears to what we kind of just mentioned with Billy Epler and where he's going to go moving forward. I think some reports came out today that he's going to look externally as well as maybe a little bit internally. I think there's only one internal candidate that I think we're even going to look at, and that's Eric Chavez. Who do you think we're going after externally, though? Who's sitting down with an interview with Billy Epler?
Well, you know, I've really got no idea. I mean, because I know that it's a job that almost anybody would want. I mean, I understand why he's got a real good idea on the internal guys, because he knows. I mean, he's basically done interviews with them already. Mm-hmm. Chavez and Josh Paul were part of his, you know, they came from his Yankee experience as assistant GM. as far as, you know, who's, I think he's going to wait for some resumes to land on his desk. But I, you know, I just don't know. It all depends. Like some of these guys that he might look at externally, they might still be managing a game, you know, because, yeah. You know, so I couldn't pinpoint one. But, you know, who knows? I mean, their contracts might come up. They, you know, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine as who he's going to interview. But I know what he's looking for. And he said that. He said, you know, he wants a guy who is going to put the welfare of the team above any one player. That's one thing he definitely wants. So we know what he's looking for. He also said that he'd like to see more analytics. You know, he wants numbers-driven stuff, and which is so I guess that's like if you're looking at what Socha didn't do. Like there were times when Socha might have put the welfare of a player above the team. You know, like maybe pools.
Yeah, exactly.
And no team used the shift less really than the Angels did. And you know, so I mean, that's what Epler's looking for. Now, if you can give me a list of guys out there who meet those criteria. Well,
yeah, you know. the one name, and I think this is a real, real, real stretch, but it's interesting, is Terry Francona, because his contract is up this year. I don't know if he's going to be that free agent manager that just shops around for a team, but I mean, he's been a player's guy. We've seen him succeed with the analytics with Theo Epstein in Boston and what he's done in Cleveland and stuff. So I think that is a very, like, it would be such a perfect fit for the Angels, but I just don't, I don't know if he's leaving, honestly.
No, nobody knows, but he may be so happy in Cleveland that he won't want to go. But exactly. Then what if he wants to go, you know, get himself a nice beach pad in Orange County? You know, who doesn't want the Angels job? Francona would be awesome.
Yeah, so I was looking at Francona as number one. I obviously the Joe Girardi speculation is out there, and he's worked with Billy Epler, so that could potentially be another little match made in heaven kind of thing. But I see Eric Chavez being the guy down the road in the future. I don't think they take him out of his front office role, put him in Salt Lake City to be that manager. No, I think they knew that Socha was on the way out. And with Chavez's experience with Epler, I think it was always kind of the idea of grooming him to be Billy Epler's perfect manager. So I think that's where we're going to see the manager position go.
I agree with you, too. I mean, and Chavez has just shown everything that you want to see. I agree that he's probably been groomed by Epler. A guy like Francona is older, you know, and knows more about managing. But Epler said it doesn't matter whether the guy's young or old. Yeah. So,
Stu, you just one name. Who will be the manager of the 2019 Angels?
I'm gonna say Eric Chavez.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. Let's switch gears a little bit to our guy. We can't have a talk and not talk about our guy Shohei Ohtani, right?
No, that would be illegal. I mean that's like you know, leaving half a beer on the bar. It's alcohol abuse. Can't do that. No. Nope.
Exactly. So, Shohei Ohtani undergoes successful Tommy John surgery on Monday. Looks like the timetable to return, at least swinging the bat, going to be towards April. Hopefully he's ready to hit. Maybe at the beginning of the season, if not moving into it. What are your expectations for this rehab?
I think he's not going to waste his time. I mean, the guy has shown an incredible desire to, he's got a goal and he's going to go for it. So, I mean, he's not the kind of guy who's just going to sit around and play one-handed video games. I mean, he is going to be working his body. He's going to be running as much as he can to get himself prepared to hit because he knows that is what he's going to do. So, he's not going to be wasting time. He's going to come in ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really impressed by when he kind of announced that he was going to undergo Tommy John surgery, that how excited he was to just be a hitter next season and kind of say, hey, you saw me for what I had with these at-bats, but next year I only get to focus on hitting. I don't have to focus on pitching. I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he absolutely raked once Albert went on the shelf and he started raking. And by the end of the season, he was batting in the cleanup hole. Now, if you'd have told me in April that he'd be the cleanup hitter for the Angels every day at the end of the year, I would have said, what, dude? No, there's no chance. He's just too young. But then it's just, such a, hopefully he's done enough to win that Rookie of the Year award.
I think he has. One thing I also want to talk about with this rehab process is, do you let him touch a baseball next year? Because I had a conversation with one of my friends, and he floated the idea of saying, hey, come September next season, if the Angels are in a position where they need to win ball games to make the playoffs, or maybe they're moving into October and they need, maybe another arm in the bullpen, do you bring him back to throw, let's say, an inning? Maybe be the closer, maybe be the eighth inning guy. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, nobody really knows all the timetables. The doctors will check that out and see when he's ready to resume throwing in any capacity. But heck yeah. I mean, if the Angels are in the playoffs or in the hunt for the playoffs come September next year and he's ready to throw, why not put him out there and let him cut loose out of the bullpen or something? I don't know. But it's such a hypothetical. There's no way to really, count on it.
Yeah. I'm just in the business of hypotheticals. I love hypotheticals, especially during the off season.
We're both in that business, man.
Yeah. So
then we everything that we said or wrote, then oh, okay, you look at the next year, boy, I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You look back on it, you're like, whoa, man, I was way off about that. I mean, I was saying Taylor Ward was gonna be the next great thing, so
Well, he did it. He hit a walk-off on Sunday. That was pretty cool.
That was kind of nice. That was cool with his, 140 batting average.
Yeah, just sent out Socha with a win, though. It was cool.
So, we got Shohei Ohtani, like we just said, batting cleanup this year. We're returning guys like Justin Upton. We're returning, obviously, Mike Trout, Cole Calhoun, all these big names. But Epler wants to go out. We got to get a first baseman. We got to get a catcher, ultimately. Who are a couple names you're looking at?
Well, so far I've only looked at the guys that are free agents on the free agent market.
Of course.
There's Maurer and Smoke. He's a free agent, and Grandal again is a free agent. So, and I think Real Muto might be able to be gotten in the trade. So, those are the only guys that roll off right now. I know he also needs pitching help, and he's going into the year with only three guys he can count on. Say Skaggs, Heaney, and Berea. Those are the only guys that got spots wrapped up. They may go for Kikuchi, the other Japanese guy. Yep. He went to the same high school as Shohei, and he's a lefty. But Epler hasn't said he's going to be in play for that, which I don't know. Knowing Billy, it's kind of like that kind of means, yeah, I'm going to go for him.
Yeah, I know. And I just recently saw that the Kikuchi thing, he will forego that full free agency that some Japanese players do, and he will try to come over to America, much like Shohei Ohtani did. So I'm very interested to see where he lands, because I mean, I think the golden goose we have in our corner right now is Shohei Ohtani, and this guy can say, hey, I get to go come over and play with one of the most exciting guys in all of baseball, and Mike Trout. I get to come over and play with, if not second most exciting guy, Shohei Ohtani. And I get to pitch for a team where they're hitting for me, right?
Yeah, I know. They can do karaoke together. It's just and you can just imagine the puns. I'm already thinking if you say Kikuchi did come and become an Angel, you just think about the puns you could write as a headline writer. Shohei, can you say?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for what Epler has coming into the offseason. And you got to be a believer, right? That's what we're believing in Billy.
Yeah. What's the hashtag?
Hashtag be a believer. That's what it is. Let's transition over our last installment of this segment, studs and duds. And I've got one stud, one dud for the entire season, not just this last week of the season. My entire season, one stud, one dud. I'll start with my one stud. And I, you know what? I thought it'd be too easy to take Trout or Otani, but I'm going to go with a guy, Jaime Barria. 26 starts for the Angels, a 10-9 record, a 3.41 ERA, which is not, that's very good considering what our starters had this season. Without a doubt, our best starter, our most consistent starter this season. He stayed healthy all year long, but I'm cautiously optimistic with his future because I think as an Angels fan, I have seen this narrative before where a guy comes in, has a stellar rookie performance on the mound, and kind of just everything goes wrong after that. You know, we've seen the Garrett Richards stuff. You literally name a pitcher from our starting rotation this year, that pretty much happened with him at one point in his career. So, Jaime Barria, my one stud for the season.
I'll back him up. I mean, young, too. I mean, he just showed what he had. He's from Panama, and he just came in lights out and when they needed him, you know.
Yeah.
He was one of the candidates going into the year that might be able to get a starting rotation and ended up, what, making like 21, 22 starts? 23, maybe?
26.
I mean, he was second on the team to 26?
26 starts, yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, nobody expected that out of a 21-year-old guy, so I will definitely agree with you there.
Who's your stud?
Well, I'm just going to go with the obvious. I mean, I know a lot of people, obviously Trout put up better numbers than he ever has in his whole career, which is amazing. You can't, you know,
unbelievable.
But I'm going to go with Otani simply because when he came in, nobody knew what to expect. You know, they'd heard the stories. His spring training was awful. And then he goes out and he's like throwing up nearly a perfect game and in April. And then he goes down and comes back and he just raked. So, I mean, yeah, he's my stud because he exceeded every single, pundit who said, this guy's just not good enough. And then he's in the four hole at the end of the year.
Yeah, I always forget about the spring training that Otani had at the start of the season. And I think that's – I'm very much a guy that's like, I'm not going to look into spring training numbers because we've seen many times that people just turn it on after spring for whatever reason. But it's crazy how, like, the knee-jerk reaction that everybody had about Otani and saying, yeah, send him down to Salt Lake because he's not ready and all these other things. It's like, wow. Like, where are you guys now? I got to go back and find some of those tweets and kind of just do the old this tweet aged well kind of thing.
Yeah, one of them was Yahoo Sports. Jeff Passan over there, he came out of spring training ripping him, and he's just saying, this guy hits like a high school player, and he's quoting scouts that says, he's got a high school curve and all this stuff. And as soon as he broke out and proved everybody wrong right at the start of the season, Jeff Passan tweeted, I guess I'm going to have to prepare a nice dish of crow for my dinner. To his credit. So, he was wrong.
I'm going to switch over to my one dud for the season. And I was between two people. The first being Cole Calhoun because of that just atrocious first half that he had. But I'm not going to go Cole Calhoun because the way that he turned it around after his DL stint was absolutely amazing. Even though he ended the year like right around 200. And that's not what we kind of want or expect out of Cole Calhoun. I went with a guy I mentioned earlier, Taylor Ward. I was extremely disappointed with what he kind of brought to the table over this last month of the season when he got his call up. I mean, he had a golden opportunity to come up and show this organization, hey, I'm here to stay. I'm here to take a position from somebody. I'm here to ultimately be one of your infielders for the future, or at least some kind of position player for the future. His start was absolutely red hot. I loved Taylor Ward. I was all about him. And then he flamed out so quick. I'm hoping he's not going to turn into Caleb Cowart 2.0, but I definitely don't think he sees the opportunity that he could have.
Oh, man. Why do you got to still keep kicking Caleb Cowart? Oh, man. That guy's never going to get a break from you. Is he
will not.
No, I mean, Taylor Ward, I was ripping him too, you know, a couple weeks ago, wasn't I? So, yeah, I mean, he's got his major league experience now, though. So he's going to be in that mix come spring training, and you know, a little bit of major league experience this year could pay off in 2019. He's still under contract, but then again, you know, he's a guy that you can say, yeah, he can play a few positions, and Epler can dangle him out there for if he's got to make a trade. They've got a few prospects that got some time in the majors this year that Epler can say, hey, you saw what this guy can do. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't like to see David Fletcher move, but if Ward was included in a deal, it wouldn't bother me too much.
No, not at all. I completely agree with that. Who's your dud?
I'm just going to go simply because, not because of the contract, but Albert Pujols just didn't live up to that contract in any way, no. Although he kind of helped the team when he got hurt. It just doesn't even seem like he's in that much of the picture for next year either, which is weird, which makes me wonder if they're going to try to restructure this contract or get him out of there, because you know that Epler is going to want Ohtani DH.
Yeah.
And if Epler's looking for a first baseman, where's Pujols going to play? Right. So, I mean, his numbers just did not do it yet again. And, of course, Moreno, he's got to be kicking himself for that deal. But, you know, he got in numbers what he expected for giving him too much money.
Yeah, I think, and we kind of mentioned it earlier about how Epler said, like, we're going to put the team before any individual player. And I think that entirely is kind of directed at Albert Pujols, because these last couple years, there has really been no reason for him to be in this lineup at some points. He brings just absolutely nothing. He's the only guy on the roster that essentially has to go station to station, and he was just such a plug behind Shohei Ohtani. And it's awful for that lineup. Our lineup is so dynamic without Albert Pujols in there. So next season, we cannot sacrifice having Albert Pujols live out this storied career for the sake of the team, because the team is way better without him.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to pay him anyway. So, you know, why not have him on the roster? It's a roster spot, though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you could get him up there to pinch hit every once in a while if there's another, you know, full-time first baseman. But, yeah, he could maybe still reach those milestones that he wants to do, just pinch hitting or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe just play Sundays, play the day game or something like that. I don't know. Albert Pujols is the biggest. My nickname next year might have something to do with Albert Pujols, because he is taking Mike Socha's position as my most, like, just peeved person on this team.
Yeah, yeah, you'll have to come up with somebody else, because Socha's not around. So I don't know. You'll have to give me a little time to think of a nickname if you're going to dangle it off of Pujols.
Yeah. There are a lot of nicknames that I could probably come up with, but I have a whole off season to come up with that, and I'll debut it maybe on opening day next year. But do you have a trivia question this week, or am I just beating you too much?
Well, you got, what is it, 3-1?
3-1, yeah.
3-1 lead. I didn't really come up with one, but I'll give you a quick one. Sunday's last game. Mm-hmm. Nobody actually from around the organization released anything about the future of Mike Socha until somebody let it slip on the broadcast when Taylor Ward was being interviewed. Who was that person that let it slip before even the press conference?
Ooh, was it? I wasn't watching the game, so that's gonna be tough. Was it? I'm gonna shoot a guess. Was it Alex Curry?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay.
I mean, so Taylor Ward goes over for the post game interview. Here comes the bucket of ice, the Gatorade, and all that stuff. Alex Curry jumped back out of the way like she always does. She's giggling. Taylor Ward's like getting a towel. He's toweling off, and she goes, "So, how was it playing for Mike Socha?" And he hadn't even done his press conference. And I'm like, okay, I think we know now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
again, I think, you know, congratulations on Socha. Whatever he does in the future, you know, I'm kind of excited about it, depending on what he does. I mean, if he's with another team, I'd be excited to see what he does with that team. If he's in a front office role with us, sure, I'd be excited about that. I don't want his hand too much in what we have, because I want a complete makeover for this staff. And one thing I forgot to bring up. I saw Billy Epler said one of the big things he wants to address this offseason is how we can change the training and kind of the recovery for some of these players because of the injury issues that we've had. And I think it was awesome that he addressed that. And I can't wait to see what that means, whether that means like new training facilities or training staff. But I think that the way that Epler wants to move with this team is the right direction. I'm excited.
I mean, how can you guarantee better health? Well, I mean, Epler kind of did that because he put kind of down a command decision, like guys like Griffin Canning are not going to work too much in the minor. Like, you shut them down early because you're not getting too much work on stress on that arm. Maybe it's diet, nutrition, that sort of stuff, you know. Socha's gone, so, you know, not, maybe every player's not going to come into camp, you know, fat and happy. I mean, it's like maybe work out over the offseason, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's good that he's got that framework going on the health side, because it just, another year with so many injuries would just drive me up the wall.
It's happened. We've been in the top five, I think, the last 4 years in most innings missed by players, and that's not a coincidence anymore. That's like an internal problem, I think, at this point.
No, it's not. It's an internal problem. And so, yeah, good. If Billy can fix it, that'd be super. I'm sure the doctors on the team would like a little bit more time off. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't want to have to keep track in my head, you know, from day to day, who's on the DL and who's not. It's a pain.
Yeah.
It's been a pain.
It's unbelievable. But you know what? Great conversation again, Stu. You have anything else for us?
Not really, man. I just hope that, you know, I know this is probably your first year. Is it your first year of going through a whole baseball season, grind?
Yeah, this is my first. This is my first season. Yeah,
you probably got the same feeling. You just kind of collapse. It's a bit of an exhaustion thing, but you'll get used to it. That's what the off season's for. Revive, do some workouts, do all that stuff. Do all the stuff. Look, I need a vacuum. You've picked up the vacuum for at least 2 months. It's getting disgusting.
Yeah, time for some spring cleaning, right?
That's right.
In the fall. Awesome, Stu. Well, we appreciate having you on the show, as always.
Thank you, Lucas. Thanks for having me on, and I hope we get a chance to do it again, maybe, next week?
Yeah, like, we got a whole off season now, so I'm sure we'll be coming in and out as much as we can.
That sounds good, bud. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Stu. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, going to finish off the show now. Awesome, awesome interview that we did with Stu Matthews there. I really like talking to him. He brings a good insight. I think also we saw like kind of the old school. He's been around the organization a lot longer than I have, probably longer than I've even been born alive. And, you know, I'm kind of bringing the new age, the new younger generation takes, I guess. So that's why I really like talking with Stu, because he's been around for quite some time now. Not calling you old or anything, Stu, but it's just a fact, right? Just a fact. But I'm back. We'll give you another episode tomorrow and then another one Friday, because the last time I talked to you, we had a question, a trivia question. That trivia question was, Mike Trout is leading two of the three Triple Crown categories. What is the category he is not leading, and who is leading that category? We had two correct answers that reached out on Twitter, and one through the email address. The correct answer is Justin Upton leads in RBIs, which is good. I think that's great. You know, he's in a position where he should be getting a lot of RBIs and stuff for the team. So really productive season for Justin Upton in that aspect. But I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. That's all I got for you today. I'm back from the wedding. Congratulations to Lissy and Corey Thompson. Now they're on their way to Austin, Texas, to live their life happily ever after. So that's all I got for today. I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. I love hearing all the good and the bad from you guys. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. But more importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at LockedOnAngels for all the updates regarding the show. And you can also go to our website, lockedonangels.com. If you have any other questions or comments or concerns, shoot us an email, lockedonangels@gmail.com. That's all for today. Go Halos into the offseason. Adios.